Turn up the radio and sing along. It's time for another great song. This is the Great Song Podcast.
Season's greetings and welcome once again to the Great Song Podcast. I'm Rob Alley.
I'm JP Motor.
And we're here to celebrate the greatest songs in modern music history. We're going to tell you what makes them great, why we think they're awesome, and why you should too. JP, how you doing today, man?
Man, I am doing fantastic. Guys, we are cruising right along through 80s month, and we're hitting with another banger, smack dab, in the middle of the 80s.
Boom.
July 86, just months before the famous New York Mets with the Bill Buckner between the legs play.
Sure.
So, Rob, let's Mookie Wilson one right down the first baseline with another classic 80s jam. Tell them what we're playing and what we're talking about.
This is I Just Died in Your Arms by Cutting Crew.
So I originally had that with the Buckner between the legs play. So, Rob, let's hit one right between their legs with a classic 80s jam right between the legs. But I just kind of left it.
That's great. In the silver spoon. Love that. Come on. Who does that off hit on the first chorus? Yeah, buddy.
Oh, man, yes.
That is parentheses, I just, unparentheses, died in your arms by Cutting Crew from the 1986 album Broadcast, which has honestly one of the, it's a very memorable album cover.
Yeah.
Because it says cutting in real big letters going on the top from left to right. And then there's a big like saw blade cut in the middle and then Crew on the bottom in huge letters. But the album title I've never seen until just now. The album title is on the cover. It says Broadcast, but it's in the bottom right. And it looks like when you buy an album used and somebody's like scribbled on the front.
Yeah.
That's literally what it looks like. It's coming from like a satellite. It's like a little thing that goes into a satellite and it has the word Broadcast, but the letters get so tiny. It just looks like a scribble. It probably looks better on vinyl, but I don't, I don't have it on vinyl. Anyway, for, that is the 1986 album Broadcast. It went to number one. I Just Died in Your Arms went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100, number four on the U.S. Album Rocks Tracks chart. Album Rock Tracks chart. I do that every time. Number four on the U.S. Album Rock Tracks chart. Number four in the U.K. Number one in Canada, Finland, and Norway. Number two in Ireland, Sweden. Top 10 all over the place.
A lot of Finland listeners out there, so thank you guys for the support. Thanks. We appreciate it.
Finnish folks, our Finnish fans. Number 44 in the UK for all of 1986, and it was number 32 on the US Hot 100, the Billboard Hot 100, for all of 1987, and it was the number 7 song in Canada for that entire year. It was written by Nick Van Eed of Cutting Crew, who we're going to be talking to in just a few minutes.
Cool.
Coming up at the end of the episode, we're going to talk to Nick Van Eed. Real pleasure to talk to him about this and other Cutting Crew goodness. a little bit about the song. This is from songfacts.com. This is a quote from Nick. He said, "Yes, I cannot tell a lie. It is a song written about my girlfriend, who is actually the mother of my daughter. We got back together for one night after a year apart, and I guess there were some fireworks, but all the time tinged with a feeling of, should I really be doing this? Hence the lyric, I should have walked away." So it may also be an offhand reference to a French phrase, and I don't speak French, but it's la petite mort. Mort, it's like a weird,
sounds
it's almost more I'm sorry. Anybody who's listening in France is absolutely revolting.
Our French listeners just dropped by 50%.
Just disgusted by my pronunciation. But I can't. I just can't do it. But anyway, it translates to the little death. It's the feeling you feel after something amazing or something scary or something climactic.
Okay, you're good.
Is that a safe way to say
that's
that?
Good. You're good.
Okay, the little death. So yeah, great chord progression in the song, and something really interesting. We're in the key of D here. Mm-hmm. Okay, even though the hook lands on a B minor, it's a very, you know, all the major stuff in the mm-hmm. song lands on minor chords. Mm-hmm. That's a B minor, okay.
Which is the relative minor of D.
Which is the relative minor of D. I just tied your arms tonight. And the verse is all in, you know, that B minor sound. And I don't think we ever hear a D chord in the song. We never actually hit a D chord. If we were in the key of B minor, this would be one minor, four minor, flat seven, five minor. Okay. Instead you just say it's a six.
Yeah.
Two, five, three minor. Right? It's so much simpler once you kind of put it in that proper context. So it's six minor, two minor, five, three minor, all of which are naturally
that
occurring
fits in that key.
In the key.
I like that better.
So that you don't have to get weird with anything.
If you're going to Nashville number system, it's better to put it in D.
Yeah, it's easier. It's less writing and less whatever. And I guess the five is really the only major chord we hear in the entire song.
The five in D.
In D.
Which would be an A chord for those of you guys that are...
So... Oh, no. Because it's... No. That would be it right here, but it's about to go to a four here.
The four, which would be G.
Right. Is at the end of the chorus. But that doesn't happen very often. It only happens this one time, I think, that it lands on the four here. I think. And then it's back. Everything else is... So it's almost all minor chords through the entire song, which kind of keep the atmosphere moving. Mm-hmm. It never really finds a super long, like, safe place to land, which kind of keeps the song interesting.
Tension all the way through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's great because that fits the song, right? It's like, I'm enjoying this, but I'm also not sure how I feel about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe this is not such a great idea. Not a lead guitar tone that I would typically choose.
I love it.
I knew you were going to say that.
I freaking love it. It's JP's guitar tone.
This is a JP guitar tone.
Man, I love it.
It works perfectly for this song, and it's easily recognizable. Yeah. It's not necessarily my go-to tone, but this is a preset for JP.
Oh, man, this is it's A2 for me. Like, I'm happy.
And the guitar part itself is fantastic. It's got all those beautiful, you know, all those little lead lines. And like
they hit in a place that I wouldn't have put them.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have connected it sooner.
Yeah.
But he waits a little bit more uncomfortably than I would have.
Yeah.
And every time, I love it. Love it.
Everything the electric guitar does in this song serves the song really well.
Yes, yes.
Even the little,
the solo.
Yeah,
please.
Let's play a little bit of the solo.
Play the solo.
There's a F sharp major.
I love it.
And then like a down chorus or a.
Yeah, man.
With that breathy, awesome synth.
The cool thing about that tone is. It's just the same tone a little bit louder.
Yeah.
They're like, he just took his tone that he's used and just raised the volume a little bit.
That's
for the solo.
It's that boost pedal.
Oh, I love it. So good. Hey, let's talk about the guys.
Okay, let's do it.
Just real quick.
Hey, let's meet the band. It's time to meet the band. Hey, mama, let's meet the band. Let's all meet the band.
Hey! All right, we're we're going to meet the band that played that, and we'll come back to a few things because I want to talk about the guitar player since we've been talking about him so much. His name's Kevin McMichael. Lead guitar on that. After Cutting Crew, he played with Robert Plant on a song called Calling on You, nominated for a Grammy. One of the best parts of that song is the driving chunky guitars. Sounds so good. So I like that guitar player. Album Fate of Nations was the only one Kevin played on before the Plant reunited with Paige, and some say it's the best solo album. So it's some say it's his best solo album, and Kevin played guitar on that. On bass, Colin Farley. Man, that name, you could go so many ways with a joke on the name of Colin Farley. Pick whichever one you want. Bass, pianos, backing vocals. He also played bass with Great Song Podcast former guest, John Parr.
Okay.
And future guest, I'm claiming it in faith, Spandau Ballet. Okay. As we'll cover True eventually. Yeah, so I got to take it to the world. Colin Farley on bass. On drums, Martin Beadle, known as Frosty. Been the drummer for Mamma Mia since 1999 and now with Queen Symphonic Rock Tour, so no stranger to the big stage production. Toured with Boy George, Kim Wilde, Gloria Gaynor, Midjourney, Sinead O'Connor. So this guy's Sinead O'Connor?
Sinead.
Yeah, I always say Sinead, and it's right. But every time I say Sinead, I'm like, did I get that right? Did I get there?
I always think of the SNL sketch where Phil, he was playing Frank Sinatra, and he was hosting a
Phil Hartman. Thing.
Phil Hartman is playing Frank Sinatra, and he calls her Sinbad O'Connor.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. That was good.
And he's like, I think Sting is on there playing Billy Idol. Sting is on there as Billy
that's
Idol,
right.
And he goes, I think you're a bloody stupid old fart. and Sinatra goes, I got chunks of guys like you in my stool.
Yeah, it's good.
Sorry. All that from Sinead O'Connor. Sorry.
It's all good. Hey, I got an SNL reference here in a minute, so we'll circle back on that. Additional bonus, Peter John Vitesse on keyboards. He also played, he was the keyboardist for Jethro Tull and did all the sequencing on keys. Terry Brown produced the track. He'd already done a huge hit for Rush with Fly By Night and their 81 Exit Stage Left album, which had everything on it. Tom Sawyer, Spirit of Radio. That was the producer on this, Terry Brown. And then lead vocals, some rhythm guitar and keyboards, Nick Van Eed, who we're going to chat with. So hang around for that.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little more about the band itself. They were nominated for a 1988 Grammy for Best New Artist, but that went to, you want to guess, 88?
88.
Best New Artist? It's the year after Bruce Hornsby and the Range won Best New Artist.
New Shoes.
They were around that time, yeah. They went to Jody Watley. You remember Jody Watley?
Is that a country artist?
No.
That's Keith Watley. Keith Whitley. Jody Watley. No.
Yeah, Jody Watley. I remember Jody Watley, but...
What's her / his song?
Let's.
Is Jody a
let's
girl?
Let's find out. Let's find out what Jody Watley's doing.
Is Jody a girl? Serious question.
I always thought so, but let's find out. Because honestly, I couldn't tell you. Yes, Jody Watley.
I tell you, the hardest time I got punched in the face was by a guy named Jody.
So
senior year basketball, he got
how many times have you been punched in the face in your life?
Not many, but I was walking out of class and my locker was right beside his, which is right beside the classroom. And he just found out he'd failed a test and couldn't play in the game. And he went to punch his locker walked right in front of it, holding my books and bam, right in the face, hit me in the eye. My books went flying everywhere. Big old guy. And he's like, oh man, I'm sorry. He was like literally trying to punch his locker. And I just walked right in front of it and got clocked.
Golly. That's like a Spider-Man. You know, that's like a Peter Parker move.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's crazy.
Books
okay,
everywhere.
So Jody Watley's top song, actually, if you go in like just her Apple Music, is This Is For the Lover in You by Babyface.
Okay.
So like maybe featuring Jody Watley.
Featuring Jody Watley.
And then her top song solo is this. This is Looking for a New Love. I think I remember her face. But baby, I know this song. You know this?
I don't.
I'm sorry. I don't know this. But it just goes to serve my point. Here's okay, so this is Don't You Want Me. This is another her other next biggest song.
We get to a chorus?
Yeah, maybe.
Same song as the last one? I don't know. Sorry.
I think I missed Jody Watley. I'm sorry to all the Jody Watley fans out there. But this it goes to my point, actually.
Nick Van Eed actually has a Jody Watley tattoo.
Yeah. the 1980, if you're looking for a class of long-term mainstream popularity, don't look at the class of 88, the best new artist class of 88. Because the other nominees, other than Jody Watley, were Breakfast Club, Terrence Trent D'Arby, and Swing Out Sister.
I know.
So, like, really, honestly, the only one that
Cutting Crew's
most
one,
people
yeah.
remember out of that is going to be Cutting Crew.
Yeah.
The others, you're going to get a lot of, huh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I couldn't name you one song by any of those other artists.
Dude, that's what, it's when we come up with the Flux Capacitor,
yeah,
that's where we go. We go to 88.
Go to 88.
And we form a super group, yep. And we just, yes, let's do it.
That's true. I feel like I should know a song by The Breakfast Club. Do you know?
I know the movie pretty well.
Let's see.
Who should we put in the DeLorean with us out there, guys? If there was a third seat, who should jump in and go back to 88 with us?
Obviously, it's Dave Barnes.
Oh, duh. And Joey.
Abbott. That's right.
Sony.
Joey on bass.
And Sony.
And Sony, yeah.
We'll make it a van.
This is Right on Track by The Breakfast Club. This is their top song. It's not The Breakfast Club. Excuse me. It's just Breakfast Club.
No.
You know this?
I don't think so. I promise I was alive in 88.
I was watching Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm like, this ain't Cutting Crew. Next.
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't Petra or Cutting Crew.
Yeah. So my point is they should have won that Best New Artist Grammy, because if you could see into the future, 2020 being hindsight, it should have been Cutting Crew. Nick Van Eed had been in a band called The Drivers, and he became impressed with the guitarist of a band supporting them on tour called Fast Forward. That guitarist was Kevin McMichael, with whom he would join up in 85 to form Cutting Crew. After the success of Broadcast, the album that I Just Died in Your Arms was on, they didn't get to strike again while the iron was hot as far as recording, because of some disputes with management and I think label having trouble getting their stuff released. And so it was that deal where by the time their follow-ups came out, the audience had kind of partially moved on. You know what I mean? It took too long. And so they weren't quite able to replicate the success of Broadcast like they wanted to. In 1993, just 5 years after this, you know, what... Yeah, 5 years later, the group disbanded, and founding guitarist McMichael actually passed away in 2002 from lung cancer. In 2003, Nick Van Eed formed a group called Grinning Souls, whose first album became repackaged as an album called Grinning Souls by a reformed Cutting Crew. You following?
Yeah.
So they're like, you know what, retroactively, we're just going to call that Grinning Souls by Cutting Crew.
Yeah, let's just...
And hey, Cutting Crew's back!
Yeah.
Nick was the only original member of that version of Cutting Crew. That version has continued, though, to record from 2003 up until now.
That's smart, because you can use the name power of Cutting Crew, where Grinning Souls doesn't really bring as much as if you know it's an album by... Yeah, I think that's a smart play.
Yeah, absolutely. And so they have recorded up until the latest release, which is 2020's Ransomed, Healed, Restored, Forgiven, which, despite the title, is not a Mark Farner-esque Christian rock album foray into, you know, from Cutting Crew. A little bit about, but it is a cool, it has lots of cool versions of like Cutting Crew classics, but done updated and like symphonically. And it's actually very good. You should definitely check it out. Got a couple songs on there that I really got stuck on for a while.
Much to our dismay, because when Cutting Crew plays J-Fest, we're there.
Yeah, absolutely. let's see. A little bit about the album Broadcast. It was released in October 86 in the UK, and in the US, Canada, and other countries in March of 87. That version had the single mix of I Just Died in Your Arms. So the original UK release has a different mix of I Just Died in Your Arms. It was the first album released by Virgin Records America.
Oh, wow.
Not too shabby.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so Virgin was already established in the UK, but this was their first release in America. It went to number 16 on the Billboard 200, and it was the number 71 album for all of 1987. It went on to achieve gold sales status in the U.S. of more than 500,000 copies. It was mixed by Tim Palmer at Utopia Studios in London. Tim Palmer also mixed Pearl Jam's 10, Tracks from U2's All That You Can't Leave Behind, and tons of other stuff like Switchfoot, Jason Mraz, Tears for Fears. He's done a lot of great mix work.
Good job.
So this is kind of interesting to me. It's so funny to me how tastes vary across the pond. Like, you know, we've talked before about the weirdness of like Joe Dolce and that kind of thing. We talk about that jokingly, but this is a really unique thing to me. The second single off broadcast in the U.S. was actually the third single that was released in the U.K., One for the Mockingbird, but it didn't perform very well here. But the third U.S. single was the second U.K. single.
They flipped them.
I've Been in Love Before, which had not done well in the U.K., but it shot to number 9 in the U.S. Hot 100 and number 2 on the USAC chart.
Huh.
So,
different palettes here in America, I guess.
It's weird, right? You wouldn't think... It's just weird how some stuff catches on and some stuff just doesn't. Like, yeah. You know, we've talked about, I can't remember, we talked about one band that was basically like, they were a UK band that became popular here, but the deal was like, they couldn't get arrested in the UK.
Yeah.
But they're still popular here. I can't think of who it was. But that's just so weird to me that the taste would be that different, you know?
Because music is music, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you would think
pretty much, but it's not. It's like, it's weird. Like, once you cross a border into Canada, music tastes are different. Yeah, it's like strange. I don't know. This is kind of funny. The first 7 tracks from Broadcast were included on the early 90s compilation, The Best of Cutting Crew.
That's like, good. It's like, this is our album. This is our best album.
Yeah, it's funny. Okay. I think. I've got just a little bit more on covers and samples, but I think first we better Stump the Genius.
Yeah, let's play it. I got one.
Stump the Genius, Stump the Genius, Stump the Genius. It's time to Stump the Genius.
Jump up and take your part. I take your part. All right. Cutting Crew. So this is stumping the genius of Cutting Crew. So I think haircuts.
Okay.
I think 5 of the worst haircuts in music.
Okay.
So these songs have to have charted or at least been in public consciousness enough for you to be like, of course. So I'm going to try to stump you a little bit, but I don't know. So I'm not going to do bands with bad haircuts. So I'm not going to do like Flock of Seagulls, his haircuts. Say what you want about it. Mike Score, whatever.
Okay.
I'm not going to do Edward Scissorhands White. Because he's in the White Stripes at the time. So, so it's going to be
solo
artists. You're going to know these solo artists, and there's going to be 5 of them.
Okay.
I say we do 45 seconds. Let's put 45 seconds. You got a timer?
I'll do a timer. And I want to remind everybody, I'm shooting for 80%.
And he's got it so far for this year. He's batting 800 right
That's
now.
Right.
He's 4 for 5. And I've got 5, so we're able to keep doing the math.
All right, here we go.
Let's see how far he can get through, if he can get through all 5 in 45 seconds.
Right.
If you're stumped with one, pass. Pass it so that you don't get stuck. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Kind of mentally give yourself 9 seconds.
Okay.
And then if not, go. Because we got 5.
That's
our timer.
There we go. Okay.
Here comes number 1. You want to count down?
And go.
Oh, wait. Start.
Okay. It's the that's Weird Al Yankovic.
That is Weird Al, yes.
What? His hair's awesome.
Not in 80s.
Oh, that's Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla
Ninja
Ice.
Rap.
Yep.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
This one's...
EGRI.
You'll know the artist, but watch your time.
Oh,
I'll jump ahead for you.
Okay.
Oh, I jumped to an odd part.
Can you hear me?
Skip.
The road is narrow.
Oh no, I don't know this. Oh no.
Skip.
Go ahead. Skip. Yep.
I'm going to give you a few extra seconds. Come on.
Oh man. That was whack. Bolton.
That's Bolton.
Okay.
I'm going to give you that one because I had a little click over trouble.
Okay.
So the 2 you missed, you went 3 for 5.
Okay.
So the 2 we got stuck on, Sailing by Rod Stewart.
Oh wow.
So that was a charter.
Dang it. So I only had 1 headphone in.
Oh,
I think if I'd had them both in.
Because of the panning.
It sounded like a woman in only my right ear.
Okay, so Rod Stewart, horrible haircut. But and this was the woman on this one was a number 1 single by, it was Barbra Streisand, Woman in Love.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure I could just pull out Barbra Streisand's voice.
I don't know why it's not playing. Yeah, there it is. That's the one with her and Kris Kristofferson. that. Okay. No, sorry, Bear Gibb.
Oh, Bear Gibb, okay. Woman in Love. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. Have we had this conversation about Barbra Streisand? That, like,
I don't know.
She's the hugest artist that I couldn't identify.
Yeah, okay.
She's absolutely a legendary, huge artist. But I feel like, I feel like Barbra Streisand has probably 50 times the audience in New York City that she does anywhere else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I feel like, in other words, if you played that song for 100 people in New York City who are our age.
99 of them will get it.
99 were going, that's Streisand, right? If you went to Wyoming and played it for 100 people, I'm not sure you get that same response.
That's true.
I'm not sure you get that same response in
anywhere.
Maybe even in Nashville.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe not.
You would have more, but just because people are, you've got a lot more higher population of music dorks out here. But like, if you just went to like random places across, if you, let's say you went to LA, another huge city, I'm not sure. I feel like New York City is carrying Barbra Streisand's career. And but good for her.
My Barbra Streisand take is you can go into any record store, any flea market, anywhere, and you'll find a Streisand album in the 95-cent bin right beside Barry Manilow, who I love. Yeah. Like, you can always find any, if you're like, I'm in need for a Streisand album for a gimmick or
something, now.
I could find one anywhere for under a dollar.
Yeah, so. Okay. That makes total sense to me. I'm just completely unaware of Barbra Streisand as an artist. I don't know any names of her albums. I know she was in A Star Is Born. I know she was in
Yentl,
you know, but that's it. I've never intentionally listened to her.
She's great in Meet the Fockers, alongside.
I forgot.
Oh, yeah, alongside Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah,
I forgot
Streisand. She just doesn't register
Rob
with me.
Rob forgets about Barbra Streisand.
I don't know.
That's our take from this week's episode on Cutting Crew.
That's right. That's right. Come for Cutting Crew, stay for the take on Barbra Streisand. Okay.
So 60%.
Yeah.
So if you go five, you're at thin reach.
I'm at 70% overall for the season.
Yep.
So that's not bad. Okay. All right. Let's see. I have a little bit on covers and samples.
Okay.
So this is an interesting, I'll save that one for last. Okay. So there is a cover by Amory. I guess that's right. This is by Amory, and this is called I Just Died. This is not called, no parentheses, this is I Just Died, which is kind of funny. Staring in the mirror as
I
start to
carefully contemplate just really how deep is it. I like her voice.
Yeah. Kind of gives me early Brandy vibes.
Yeah.
And Aaliyah.
Dude, I like this.
I do too. It's got good chords, cool rhythmic stuff.
I haven't heard the sample yet, or the...
It's coming. It's in the chorus. It's in the hook. So it's...
Dude, that's a complex melody. Yes. I freaking love it.
Yeah, it's actually great. So it's basically, they were like, okay, we're using this title of this song. We're going to get in trouble if we don't like, right? So, okay. And then you've got, this is Relax, Take It Easy by, I guess it's Mika, M-I-K-A. I don't know if it's Mika or Mika.
My wife likes this artist.
Oh, yeah? Then do you know if it's Mika or Mika?
I don't.
Okay. And obviously you can hear the influence there straight away. Took a ride to the end. They've got that. And then I think this is another one where they originally said, oh, that's accidental. I think even Nick Van Eed might have said he thinks this one was truly kind of coincidental and they just stumbled into this melody. Here's the, we'll come to the chorus. So
it's real close.
Yeah. You could sort of do that subconsciously.
I like
feel
that
like,
too.
You know. Yeah, I know, right? this song just lends itself to, like, it's a generous song. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's like a tree from which acorns fall and blossoms other. I don't know what the crap I'm talking about. All right, one more from kind of an unexpected artist. at least for me, but very cool. I always love it when rap songs influence hip hop.
You mean when rock songs influence hip hop?
Yeah, what did I say?
When rap songs
influence. Oh, yes. This is Jay-Z. Apparently, this is from like an old Jay-Z thing, like a mixtape or something. Not loving that crash cymbal, but
the splash.
Yeah, he does rap at one point. Yeah,
just Kirk Franklin in it right now. Man, I love his voice. Standing at the tabernacle, rather the church, pretending to be hurt wouldn't work. So a smirk was all on my face, like that man's face is just like my face. Anyway. So pop, I forget. Very few people deserve Beyonce, but Jay-Z deserves Beyonce. That's awesome.
That's right. None of us deserve Beyonce, but Jay-Z does. He earned it. He does. There, what a couple!
I know, right?
I mean, you talk about power couples of our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
We could take a minute and think through, but I don't
Homer
know.
Homer and Marge Simpson.
Sure, of course, yeah. Obviously. I don't know. You talking about celebrity?
Yeah, no,
there's probably some power couples.
I mean,
Keith
Urban, Nicole Kidman.
Yes,
is a biggie.
Absolutely,
because you cover both.
Yes.
At the TV, movie, and
that's a great
world.
One. That might be, I mean, yeah. But
that's the first that pops in my head. And we know there's big ones out there, guys.
Yeah.
But,
I think Jay-Z and Beyonce is bigger than
financially, they gotta be at the top.
Who y'all let us know if there's who are we missing out on here? But I think probably biggest power couple of our lifetime is Jay-Z and Beyonce. And
until Elon Musk and Oprah start dating, then I guess they've got them financially.
Got it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. Why not?
Yeah, right.
Okay. We're going to take you to our interview with Cutting Crew lead singer, writer of this song, Nick Van Eed. But first, stop what you're doing. Get your phone in your hand. You probably already have it there. And just scroll on over to Instagram. Scroll on over to Facebook. Follow us on all the socials at Great Song Pod. And you could be part of our Facebook group, which is called Great Songs and the Great People Who Love Them Greatly. We have a lot of fun. We built some good community over there. And it's just good, clean fun. No mean people. It's awesome. No trolls. No jerks. No zip heads. What's the stuff they say in like future movies? You know, like you trank. Is that a thing? I don't know.
It might be.
Oh no, tranks are what they say. It's from Back to the Future 2. They take tranks, right? It's like drugs, like tranquilizers.
Yeah,
tranks. All right. Anyway, Bojo, you Bojo, those boards don't work on water. All right. Anyway,
you made enough to back that up with more than just a pie plate. That's number three. That's, but what the heck?
Why not? If we're flinging insults, we might as well. Okay. What were we talking about? Go to the places, follow us on the things, Great Songs and the Great People Who Love Them Greatly on Facebook. If you want to go the extra mile and be part of making the show happen, if you want to be a Patreon producer, you can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/greatsongpod. And when you support the show that way, we will heap generous and bountiful thank yous upon you and send you bonus stuff, give you extended episodes, ad-free, early release, full bonus shows that nobody else gets, a new weekly show every week during the season. Like, it's just crazy the amount of stuff that we're doing over there during the season. So head on over to patreon.com/greatsongpod, and you can support the show at any level there and get all the benefits that we have to offer. We're going to go to Nick Van Eed right now, and we'll be back at the end to tuck you in.
This is the Great Song Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, we are here with Nick Van Eed of Cutting Crew and other projects, which we'll talk about later. Nick, thank you so much for joining us today on the Great Song Podcast. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you. An absolute pleasure for me. I'm ready for this. I've been researching you two, and I'm looking forward.
Oh, no.
That's always scary. Yeah.
America's Most Wanted, you know, I found you guys.
Right. We're on a great many registrations and
billboards.
Yep. Exactly. Let's start with I Just Died in Your Arms, since that's what we're going to be focusing on for our episode. Why don't you go ahead? I know it's a bit of a we're a family-friendly show, but if you can kind of give us the rundown of the story of the song and, you know, kind of what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the question that I've been asked for 35 years, and I will still put all my energy into it. It's almost become mythological in some ways, and I think I've added bits and pieces over the years. But simply said, it was, you know, I've been writing songs. I had a publishing deal. You know, this was number 156 of my published songs, but it just happened like that. I was, I broke up with my girlfriend and we got back together at a party and it ended up, you know, spending the night together. And I'm sorry, ladies, but I woke up the following morning and said, I think I've really got a great title. and that's how it worked. I wrote it down and, you know, it was a lovely night and we stayed together for a couple of years more. I still see her actually. She's still around. But that was the title, and it's one of those songs, and I'm sure you've heard it 100 times from your interviewees, that those big ones, you know, there's no stopping them. They just drop out of the sky. I remember, you know, playing the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and I wasn't really much of a keyboard player, but it just did it. And then the arrangement and everything, lyrics done in about a day. You know, so when those things happen, there's a British pop star called Julian Cope, from Teardrop Explodes, and he's very famously quoted as saying, you know, whatever you do, don't stop it, because even if it's beginning to sound like Hey Jude, don't stop it, because it might become just a version that's even better than Hey Jude. You know, yeah. The trick is, don't stop it.
That's great. Here's the awkward follow-up question. Does she know that it's about her? Does she know that it's about
She knows. Okay. Yeah, she...
All right.
That's good. So this was y'all's debut single. Again, let me say that to the listeners. Debut single. Did you know, did it feel like it would be the smash that it was when you put it? Were you like, this is the smash? This is it.
Mm. Well, first of all, two prongs to that. Debut single is what basically, I think, not killed our career because I'm still here, but we could have been 5 times bigger. I'm absolutely positive. If the record company, not America, because it was released a year later in the States, but in Britain especially, they couldn't wait to release it. You know, it was, we got to do this song. And I was like, we've got a great album here. You know, why don't you just tickle it? You know, I was 27 years old. I wasn't a little baby. I knew how the business worked, or at least, you know, I guessed. But they put it out first. And of course, then you know the old story about how you follow that. So that's something I've always felt very strongly about, and no bitterness at all. But yeah, it was Terry Brown was producing it. He's the guy that did all the Rush albums. He's an old mate of mine from Canada. He came over. It was just beginning to, you know, click. The band was, you know, first album, the band were looking and reading each other. Kevin, the guitarist, was on fire. And apparently I sang great. What used to happen was, you know, you get the T-boy or the girlfriend of the engineer would pop in or something. And I remember they were always like, you know, I won't say it, but I'll do the mouthing. it had that effect.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. I mean, I would never be that pompous or foolish. But other people were saying great things. And the rest is ancient history.
Yeah, you mentioned that it came out in November of 86 in the UK, and then July of 87 in the United States. Was that common for such a delay for it to hit in the US, and was it already a pretty big smash over in the UK before it came over?
Yeah, it had already proved itself, even Japan, I think, and all across Europe. We had like 15, 16 number ones. So Branson, who run Virgin, that's who we were signed to, you know, he's made a few good decisions in his career, and one of those certainly changed my life forever, and that was he waited until he'd set up his own Virgin Records company. So this was like the size of a shoe shop in Midtown Manhattan. That was Virgin Records. Wow. Then. You know, he said, I think we should release Cutting Crew, Johnny Hates Jazz, and I think T'Pau or something, you know, tried and trusted records in the European market. The next time I went over there, you know, it was number one, and they were in Beverly, Bel Air. You know? Great, Roy Orbison sitting over there, Johnny Rotten sitting over there. Hi, Janet Jackson.
I do want to talk about the new recording of I Just Died in Your Arms and other songs. They are absolutely gorgeous, and the video as well is beautiful. I really appreciate the fact that you guys didn't go in and sort of half-heartedly recut these tracks. I mean, they are really, really sonically, you know, fantastic. Did you have that in mind going in for the latest versions? You know, I know there's various reasons for that. I assume it has at least in part to do with sort of being able to own your own masters and have these, you know, these new versions. But were you guys going for, hey, let's really knock this out of the park sonically?
Yeah, the devil is in the small print. What you said there, you know, about owning masters. I don't own these versions. It was a proper record deal. It was a phone call, you know, okay, like the old days. Hi, Nick, it's John here. We would like to record you with the Prague Philharmonic Orchestra, you know. And I was like, what? And who is this? He wanted to pay us in advance as well, which is funny because that doesn't even happen anymore. Yeah, that's so 80s, you know. I said, I don't want any money. I said, just pay me royalties sooner. But anyway, it was a record deal where we don't own it. There is a part ownership thing going on. Too boring for the listeners. But no, as soon as he said orchestra, the hairs on my arm stood up because I've sung with orchestras before over the years. A lot of times in Germany with, you know, fabulous orchestras, but to re-sing, you know, I've Been in Love Before, Everything But My Pride. I tell you guys, putting those cans on and singing with the orchestra was, I'm 63 now, and that I was reduced to tears. I mean, it was for good reasons, you know. Okay. It was beautiful. Whether you love or hate Cutting Crew, I don't care. This is a human story. You know, it's just that hearing 80 people playing. And, you know, some guy going, I said, what do you want to do to Martin? I'm going, did I? You know, dreams are made of this.
That's great.
An experience that few get to have, hearing their own music come back at them in that way, 30 plus years down the line, it's really got to be kind of overwhelming. I know we've seen some young artists recently, like Ben Rector and Cody Fry, who have done the same thing, sort of symphonic versions. And even just a few years removed from those songs, you know, it really sort of overwhelmed them emotionally. So I can imagine having lived the life that these songs have already lived for you and then being able to experience them in this new way is kind of a lot to take in.
Yeah. And you made the point about, you know, going full blown for it. Absolutely. The first meeting we had was I heard some of the previous albums. Wang Chung did a good album for them. I think Flock of Seagulls had. But I said to them, I'll do it, but I don't want it to sound like, it's Schlager is the German word, you know, sweet nonsense strings that you'd get on a Saturday night cabaret show or something. Mm-hmm. Please, if it starts to even smell of that, I'm out of here. And you can tell, you know, there was a beautiful arrangement from a guy called Pete Whitfield. He would phone me up and he'd say, okay, Nick, let's talk about bar 53. Now, the bassoons are sliding down, and I'm going, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's awesome.
But I'm a huge fan of classical music, so I know what I like, and I do know the instruments. So he would involve me, and I'd say, Climb Aboard, which is a track on the album, can that be like Rachmaninoff in the middle with the strings? And he'd go, oh, yeah, Rachman. So I was, in my own amateur way, very much involved.
So you touched on, or Rob hinted at the new video. So the original for I Just Died in Your Arms had two videos. The first one is kind of that sepia black and white to the color of the band playing the song and kind of a soundstage studio. I love it. Do you still have that fashionable long trench coat that you're rocking in that one where you bike around the stage with the cam guy on the back?
It's a little moth-eaten, but I still got it.
Okay. Yeah,
I still got it. And I think we auctioned off those white boxing shoes in the 90s or something. But yeah, so again, again, very pertinent because you're Americans. You know, what happened was we had the hit. The British video was great. You know, there was a lot of fun. First thing we'd ever done, we didn't know what was going on. We just jumped off stages and chased motorbikes. And, you know, it's had 110 views or 110 million views on YouTube. But then we got to America and there was Jeff Aeroff. Hi, Jeff. And Jordan Harris, two of the huge, heavy-hitting 80s record company execs. You know, Branson had brought all these people in. He pinched everybody, you know. And they were like, he just got a beard. He was like, send us a little bit British for us. I think we need to do another one, you know. And I was like, how much is that going to cost? You know, because it all goes on the band's bill.
Right.
So they shot this rather sexy one with a girl in a negligee. And we used to go, and down south, you know, down your way, we would turn up on tour and there'd be a pile of letters for Nick Van Eden and open up and go, welcome to Alabama, you know, what we saw in your video didn't go down very well, guys, you know.
Yeah, here in the Bible Belt, we should, me and Rob should like the hot model one. That should be the one that we like, but I really like the black and white Sepia one, believe it or not. It's good. I did have a follow-up question, too, on the second single was I've Been in Love Before, which you also wrote, was number 9 on the Billboard and number 2 on Adult Contemporary. It's over 5 minutes long, clocking in at like 5:09, which is pretty long for a track to chart around there. Was song length ever brought up on this one? Is that something that was a concern? Because that's a lot longer track than some of your others.
Well, back then, you know, I guess you didn't. This is quite remarkable because I do a podcast with a classical composer, and we'd sit and talk about how, you know, pop and classic override. And we were talking just that about intros, you know. And I said, "Well, the Beatles, for heaven's sake, you know, they had all these beautiful long intros." And he went, "Can't buy me love." Or, "You say yes, I say no." All these instant. Get on with it. We're calling the podcast Get On With It. Whereas Cutting Crew would have these beautiful long intros, I thought. But it didn't seem to, no, I think they may have cut it, 8 bars or something on the intro on the single release. But you could get away with it back then. And now we're in the world of Spotify and algorithms. You know about this, guys. These algorithms that find tracks that get on with it, you know. Yeah. So Cutting Crew, one of our tracks, I don't start singing till 1 minute. Not earning much on Spotify there.
Yeah, well, Broadcast, the title track of Broadcast is over 6 minutes. So, but I love the guitar line before it hits you in a minute. That line gets me every time. I love it. So.
Thank you.
We love a good long album track. Like
we're okay with it.
Exactly. We're still of the generation that likes to put on an album and play it front to back and, you know, kind of take in the whole thing with the highs and lows. But yeah, the algorithm has really changed everything. Does that change your approach now when you're writing? Do you think with that in mind, or you just go, I have to write this the way I'm hearing it and then deal with that later?
I've never ever pandered to anything like that, and I don't mean that because I'm some big rebel. I just write music. I mean, there's a song on the last album. Here we go again. Gosh, the handy guitar. It starts. You've had the time to think it over. Very awesome. But it's just straight in with the vocal, you know. Yeah. Now, I didn't do that on purpose, and the next track that starts, I think, is a minute and a half before I sing. So
that's great. Just let the songs be what they are.
That's good. I love that.
And let the algorithmic chips fall where they may.
That's good. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the 80s, you know, and I was into Yes and Genesis for my sins. And, you know, these triple albums of songs with, you know, just one track on one of the Yes albums, I remember, on one side of an album. And so that was in my blood, and, you know, Rush and bands like that. But then as I grew up, I into bands like The Police. I idolized The Police. They were just 3 minute, beautifully crafted, get on with it pop songs. Yeah.
I have a Police tie-in. I'm so glad you mentioned that. So the Drivers era from like the 81 to 83, I love Talk of the Night. I think it's so fun. And I played it. I was listening through it, and it gives Police vibes to me. It sounds very Police influence. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that. That Shortcuts album is great. Is Sisters, fun rocking, semi-pop.
Oh, yeah.
Like the tone of this whole album. It's very Police. So I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, we were a three-piece, and there's something very special about a three-piece, if you're any good.
It takes a special power to pull off the power trio. You have to be extremely talented.
Yeah, there's no messing about. You know, there's no other person to spoil it. Not spoil it, but, you know, it gets in the way. And endings of songs were great. We never rehearsed endings. We would literally just be, right, you can do that with three people. It's wonderful.
That's more challenging to fade out live, though. Trying to fade out. It's a little more challenging. One other trio tie-in. You were in a super group, Mandoki Soulmates, with Jack Bruce of Cream, Greg Lake from Emerson, Lake and Palmer, King Crimson, Tony Carey, Chris Thompson, another friend of the podcast. We had him on to talk Manfred Mann not too long ago. Tell us about that project, the Mandoki Soulmates. That was amazing.
It is. It's something that, you know, I drop into conversation occasionally with musicians, and they're like, especially brass players, you know, because we've got Bill Evans, we've got Randy Brecker on trumpet playing When Dying in Your Arms. You know, I mean, oh my word. So you can name drop forever. Alan Viola playing guitar for me and been in love before.
How does it make you feel that you've written these songs like, you know, I Just Died in Your Arms, or even something like Frigid as England that is, you know, still being covered now and revered by multiple generations of fans? Did you ever see that coming?
It was probably 10 years, you know, after the initial hit fades away, then you get into that world of younger bands spotting it and covering it. I think I could easily release 4 CDs worth of covers. I mean, easily. Some of them absolutely shocking. Some of them all right. There's some really good dance versions of house with the sample. And so I'm not averse to that. But I'm going to do my usual plug for the craziest version of all. And guys, please, you know, look this up. Whoever's watching this podcast, this session, is there a they're called the Northern Kings, and they are a Scandinavian death metal-ish type guys, all got hair down to there. And they must all be called Sven or something, from Finland, from Norway, from Sweden. And these guys are serious. That's my tattoo. They've got like everything. And they did it. And it was this. It was, they changed it to 6/8. So it's Bobby. If he was up there, something not there. Broken heart. That kind of thing. It's got an orchestra, it's got a harp, it's got a key change for this guitar solo. It's immense, it's nutty, and I love it.
Let's see. I have a random one. I just had to know. I Just Died in Your Arms was used in the 2020 Super Bowl ad that killed off Mr. Peanut. did you have any reservations about killing off Mr. Peanut with your song as the soundtrack?
Yeah. Is this going live or is it recorded?
No, you're good.
It's recorded.
Yes, it's recorded.
Yeah,
I'll tell you the story. You can choose whether you keep it or not.
Right. Okay.
The peanut, Mr. Peanut, meant nothing to an Englishman. Just absolutely nothing. Yes, exactly. So I'm very sorry for that, folks. So when they got in touch, you know, the reverence to his passing was a little less important. I was obviously, it certainly paid for Kentucky Fried Chicken for the rest of the month.
There we go.
But the bit that was a little, this is the bit where you can edit point maybe.
Okay.
But yeah. Very nearly didn't happen because the actual piece has Wesley Snipes and somebody else on the side of a mountain and Peanut falls down and dies. And it was the same week that that huge basketball star died.
That's right. Kobe. Yeah.
The helicopter.
Oh, man.
That's right.
I remember somebody phoning up and said, this may not even happen, but somebody said it's okay.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't even make that connection.
Did not
that's,
either.
That's crazy.
Makes total sense. Yeah. And JP is wearing his Lakers
hoodie. I'm wearing my Lakers.
Hoodie. Wow.
R.I.P. Kobe. There we go.
Okay.
How about that?
There you go.
Okay. Well, we'll pick it up a little bit. So you did the original demo for Cher's Smash Believe. On the original demo, did you already have that heavy amount of auto-tune in your head? Like as you were thinking.
this was, I think, 7 years before it was released.
Oh,
now,
man.
I was vacuuming the studio.
We just got a great visual for everyone who's only listening.
Oh, that's awesome, yeah. Wonderful.
And it's on the radio. And I literally turned the and I said, I remember this. Oh, it's that song. So 7 years previous, Kevin and I had gone into the studio with a couple of local songwriters, just, young lads doing nothing at all then. And they wanted to, we were the only people they knew that might be able to have some production hooks. And so, again, I didn't intend to do all this. It's great.
I'm loving it.
They wanted, Mark wanted it to be a bit Vanilla before. So, been in love before. Been in love. Do you believe in love after love? So the chord is in there from I've Been in Love Before. The verse has nothing to do with what we wrote, so that got changed. So 7 years later, it was released. It was like, number one. All over the world, and I looked on the co-writes, and I think if you look now, there's like 9 names, but not mine. We got a bottle of whiskey.
A bottle of whiskey. I hope it was a good one. He gave us the All right.
So can you think of another song that it's the only song I can think of that's a hit with the word proxy in it? That's the only one I can think of. That's your challenge. So if you could find another one, we'll send you a prize of unspeakable value. Unspeakable.
You got me, JP. You definitely got me.
One other thing. On the website, you have a wit and wisdom section on the Cutting Crew website, which I love. A great Steve Martin quote, "A day without sunshine is like night." I think that's wonderful. So I'll tell all our listeners, go check out the wit and wisdom section of the Cutting Crew page.
Comedy's so much of it. These awful 2 years we've all been through. If you didn't have that side to yourself in the music business, I'm sure if you're a car mechanic as well, but especially for my gang, we had to invent all kinds of things to get us through it. I don't think any of us were sitting around crying, we can't play our instruments. But it got tough after about a year, that muscle memory that I bet you've heard from other guys, especially guitarists or drummers, things that you take for granted. That doesn't apply to me. I'm a singer, but even so, we've got our first live shows in 2 years in 3 weeks' time, and I'm ready for it, but just a little nervous.
You got a condition for that. I mean, you're about to jump on and take on a couple hours worth of an hour plus. So you got to be in shape to do that.
Yeah,
you do. Yeah, and stamina. I mean, Nikki, my wife, came in the other day into this studio here. I had all the lights down. I was wearing a big thick coat with the heating on, singing. And I said, I'm just trying to make him feel like it's on stage.
Yeah, that's good.
True. We have one question that ask everybody.
We have one that we ask everybody. So you're on tour, either solo stuff or with Cutting Crew, and you go into a gas station. What is your gas station snack food of choice? And while you're thinking of it, I'll tell you mine. I get a Three Musketeers candy bar. When I was growing up, my mom would say you could have any candy bar you want, and it's the most ounces, and they're all the same price. So I get a Three Musketeers candy bar. What is your gas station snack food of choice?
Snickers.
Okay. Oh, beautiful. Well, there you go. Smart play. We get that on the regular. You're in good company.
That's right.
Nick, this has been a blast. We hope you've had a good time. We hope we didn't disappoint. You said you did some research on us, so hopefully we lived up to expectations.
I've really enjoyed it. It's 10 in the morning for you guys, isn't it? So well done. You know, I'm sitting here with my glass of Sauvignon at 4 in the afternoon.
There you go. I just ate some eggs and bacon. We're just getting started. It's breakfast. We're kicking this off.
Great talking with you. Really was.
Thanks so much, Nick. Have a good one.
This is the Great Song Podcast.
Guys, that was fun. Boom. How awesome was it hanging out with Nick?
Nick Venny.
And I hinted at this earlier. Have you seen the Saturday Night Live video with Will Ferrell and Horatio Sanz doing this?
Oh my gosh, yes!
I freaking love this. So me and Rob are going to take a second and watch it. Oh. If you guys want to watch it on your own, it's on Vimeo.
Yeah, Vimeo.
That's the only place I can find it. Can't find it on YouTube.
Hold on. Is this you discovering Vimeo?
I don't know. It's out there.
You didn't know what Vimeo was before now?
I've known of such. But anyway, guys, take a second. Watch this 4-minute clip. Me and Rob are going to watch a little of it. This is great.
As I was saying, honey, I just died in your arms tonight. Must have been something shit.
Oh, come on. Did you listen to anything I said? I mean, really, when to come in, any of that.
Honey, did you actually pick that song? Because, you know, that's really not our song.
No, of course I didn't. Guys, you were supposed to play the Louis Armstrong song.
Wait a minute.
No way, man.
Wait a minute.
No way, man.
Listen, you told us very clearly over the phone that you wanted I Just, in parentheses.
It matters, parentheses, it matters.
Tonight by the Cutting Crew. And I will take that to the grave with me.
Anyway,
it's great. It's great. Me and Rob were hee-hawing a minute ago, so it's 4 minutes worth of your time. So look it up. It's good. On look JP's up. Just Learned Vimeo.
The Wedding Singers, Will Ferrell and Joshua Jackson, is how it's listed on Vimeo. I was thinking, I meant to mention this earlier, but like, how much influence on the hookiness of this song do you think that the way that Nick sings Died has? Like, he doesn't say, in other words, if it was us, he would say, I just died in your arms, right? I mean, we're country.
But he adds
died. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that gives the hook an extra element that makes it fun to sing.
Yeah, he spells it D-Y-E-D.
Yeah. It's like died. Uh-huh. It's like, I just Nick Van died.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I just Nick Van died in your arms tonight. It's got an extra just little,
it's awesome.
Little turn in there that I think makes it fun and makes it memorable to you know, sing along. Like, it's just fun to sing.
It's great.
I just died in
absolutely. Tonight. Just the same way we impersonate, everybody impersonates Darius Rucker. Everybody impersonates Nick when they do this song.
Sure, yeah. And which is part of the funny of that sketch with Will Ferrell and Horatio Sands. They just keep singing over and over and over and interrupting this wedding speech.
It's great. Guys, episode 2, season 10. Here we go.
Blam!
Oh, we ain't stopping.
No. 10.2 in the books, but 10 point many more still yet to come, including the rest of August 80s. 80s August, whatever we're calling this thing. 80s August coming your way. Two more number one hits from the 1980s coming at you in the month of August. So we'll see you. Make sure to follow us on all the things, and we'll be back next week with another great song. Until then, I'm Rob.
I am JP.
Go listen to some music.